Good afternoon again, sorry. Alrighty. We were, by the way, I'm so glad to be here. I always love coming this way to Columbus. We were considering this morning Malachi, right? So what was Malachi's problem? Let me see if I can get a little bit of participation, and then we're going to go into the thought of today. What was Malachi's problem?
Coldness.
Okay, that's one way of putting it. Coldness. What was it?
Complacency.
Going through the motions. We only looked at one little aspect of where they were off theologically, right, in the way they thought about God. They were off in financially. They were thinking that God was unfair. When they were bringing the offerings, it was just like bringing any sloppy thing and bringing it out there to. And we didn't go into all of that, but that's all in the book. There's so many lessons in Malachi; it's unbelievable, right? But the main thing is Malachi was sent to try to make them aware of the fact that they were just so complacent, going through the motions, so almost bored. And I'm praying that as we come to Columbus Bible Chapel, when we come to worship, to the meetings, that we're not bored, but there's actually an anticipation, right, and an excitement about coming. Oh, okay. Change and record. He started coming behind me. I'm like, what did I do? All right. So, what we're going to talk about right now kind of like it continues that thought, but with a different shift. All right. When we were created, God had in mind a relationship. You have to remember that. The main thing God wanted when he created man in his image was a relationship, because we have a triune God. And the triune God has had an eternal relationship from all eternity, eternal, right? From always has had a relationship. And it is so sweet and so special that when he created man, he wanted man to experience what they experience. A relationship, a closeness, to be in the same page, right? To be with God. And so God creates us not only to be dependent upon him, but to have this relationship that's real. And as you know, he would go into the garden, and he would talk with them. And one day he's walking and it's like, hey, where are you? And they had sinned. And from that moment on, everything changed. However, we know that Christ came to fix a relationship and restore that broken image. Right? Now, what is God seeking then? What is God seeking? God is seeking worshippers to worship him in spirit and truth. So we know from John 4 that God is seeking worshipers, and God is seeking us to draw near to him. All right. So, as in any relationship, the issue is not with God, the issue is with us. We get complacent, we go, I don't know about you, but sometimes, especially after 43 years of being saved, I open the Bible in the morning and I say, well, I've read that verse, 30,000 times, and then I just kind of read it. It's hard to keep fresh in your relationship with God. Am I the only one? You know what I'm saying? And the longer you're saved, you're going to see that it's more of a struggle. Right? And so I read it anyway, and at the end of the day, I'm glad I did, because God's word is God's word, right? And it blesses you, and it always encourages you, and it makes you think about God. Right? So what does God want? What does God want? He wants a relationship. He wants you to draw near to him. All right? Now, let me draw your attention to one verse, then we're going to look at some Psalms. Go to John 17 and verse 3. John 17, 3. Okay, now notice how Jesus describes eternal life. Notice, this is eternal life. Now, if someone were to ask me right now, all right, describe eternal life, I would say, okay, it's repenting of your sin, having believed that Jesus died for you, that he rose again, and trusting him as your Savior, you have forgiveness of sin, and you have eternal life. That's probably how I would describe it, right? How would you describe it? Maybe similar, right? But notice, my thing keeps going out. I need to do tell it to extend long before it dies on me. Okay, so notice how Jesus explains eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may, what? Know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. So what does God want? God wants a relationship. He wants you to know him, right? And so this is a priority to God. Would you agree with me that this is a priority? It's important to God, right? Okay, and so we should desire his face. We should long for God, for his presence, for his blessing, for his spirit. I think you would all agree with me, right? This is what God wants. And so notice then what he says in Psalm. If you want to follow me, I'm going to be looking at a lot of different verses. But Psalm 27, 8, this is what he tells David. When thou didst say, God said to David, here's what I want from you, David. Seek my face. My heart said to thee, he responded to God by saying, thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. And so what did God want from David? What did God want from David? Seek your face. In other words, when I say to, if I were to tell you, seek my face, what am I saying? Don't look, just look at my face. What am I saying? A relationship. Draw near to me. Let's talk. Let's get to know each other. Right? And so we must understand that salvation, eternal life, God's purpose was so that we can know the eternal God and Jesus Christ in a personal, more intimate way. That's what God wants. And so he tells David, whose heart was after God, right? David, here's what I want from you. I want you to seek me. I want you to draw near to me. And his heart responded in a great way. Thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. And that's a response that God wants. I didn't just save you so that you can feel guilty because you're not always living for me. You don't always witness and blah, blah, blah. Because we kind of overemphasize that, I think. Overemphasize the Great Commission, right? And if somebody's an evangelist, that's all they talk about. We have an evangelist in Cleveland that lives with us. And every time he preaches, the Great Commission. Like, dude, stop saying the Great Commission. It's not just the Great Commission. God wants us to know him. This eternal life. The Great Commission, no. No. That you may know the only true God and know Jesus Christ. You already know him in salvation, but now get to know him. And we're going to spend all eternity getting to know him. So what's his invitation? Seek my face, which means seek him. Seek his person. Get to know him. Psalm 105, 3 through 4. Glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Oh, another thing, when you seek him, you're going to find that your heart gets full of joy. It's glad. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. So you can see then the desire of God is for you to continually, constantly be seeking him and getting to know him more and more. All right? Now, God's desire, just listen, James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So I'm going to show you by looking at a lot of verses that it's a continual theme, topic in the Bible. God wants us to seek him, to desire, to get to know him, to just think about him. 2 Chronicles 15:2, the Lord said to Asa the king, the Lord is with you when you are with him. If you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So the exhortation is, seek him and God will reveal himself to you. He will reveal himself to you. Korah put it this way in Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Now, this is hard to understand unless you've seen an animal panting for water. Now, in Mexico, some of the area where my family's from is semi-arid. And I remember one day, I like to hunt. So I had gone into the woods away from where the ranch house was and everything. My uncles all had ranches and we would hunt. So I went and I hid myself with a friend of mine. And we're sitting there and there here comes this coyote. And it's as thirsty as can be. And you can just see him panting. And when he saw the water, he ran towards the water. Right? And he started drinking. And that's reminding me of this. As a deer pants for water, so my soul pants for thee, O God. Now, I have to admit, that's not always true of me. I do seek God in one, but I don't always pant for him like, you know, like if you're thirsty and you need to drink water bad. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. I do desire to be that way though. And I'm sure you do too, as a believer. As a believer. Okay, now, Psalm 84 too. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. And so there it is again. I long for you. I yearn for you. And in fact, he said in Psalm 84:10, better is one day in your courts, in your presence, than thousands elsewhere. You know how we know? You know how we know if we're not complacent, if we're excited about God? We know in the fact is we can't wait to get to the meetings. We're excited about it because we're going to be with God's people, because we're going to be thinking about God, because we're going to remember him in the Lord's Supper. We're going to open up the Word and listen. You know, whoever speaks doesn't matter, right? But we're going to hear God's Word and we're going to be listening to God and being taught about him. And if you're excited about it, then that's what God wants, right? And if it's a drag for you, you need to take a look at where you're at. Maybe you've fallen into the Malachi pattern or the Church of Laodicea. David's desire, watch David's desire. Psalm 63, 1 through 8. Go there, please. This is such a beautiful psalm. Let's consider this. Psalm 63. We're going to read verse 1 through 8. O God, thou art my God. I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have beheld thee in the sanctuary to see thy power and thy glory. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. So I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul is satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember thee on my bed, I meditate on thee in the night watches, for thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to thee, my right hand upholds me. Do you see, what do you see there? I see somebody who's seeking God. He said, I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee. So what do you see there? Somebody just like, God, I really desire you. I seek you. I'm thirsty for you. I yearn for you. I have beheld, that is, I see you in the sanctuary to see thy power and thy glory. So he's excited to go to the sanctuary, to hear God's word preached, to be with God's people. Psalm 60, because your loving kindness is better than life. And then the delight of David, I am satisfied with you. Now, life is a battle. The world is constantly going to try to draw us because it, I don't know about you, but it doesn't want you to be satisfied. And so we seek things, we learn, we work, we do, right? But ultimately, the only thing that is going to fully satisfy us is the Lord. Oversimplistic, maybe, yet it's true. My soul is satisfied with you, Psalm 63:5. Only our loving God can satisfy our thirsty soul. Now, Solomon, in Ecclesiastes, he tried everything to fill his void. As you know, projects, he tried pleasure, he tried leisure, he tried all kinds of things, but nothing can satisfy him. Notice he said vanity, all is vanity under the sun. In other words, God wasn't in the picture. God wasn't in the picture. That's the key to that book, by the way, Under the Sun. Remember, every book has a key word. And that key word is under the sun. He tried everything but God. Then he realized the only thing that really can satisfy us is the Lord God. And so he says in Psalm 27:4, I seek to dwell in God's house, in his presence, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. So you can see then why God appreciated David so much. Over and over again, David is saying, I seek thee, I desire thee, I'm thirsty for you, I pant for you, constantly seeking God. So how do we seek the face of God? If you notice in some of the verses that we read, he said, I will meditate. Even in my bed, I meditate, I think about you. And so, here's some things that you can do, you cannot do without. And if you don't have time for this, you're too busy. You need to cut something out of your life. That is quiet time. I have found that if I don't have a quiet time with the Lord in daily, I start to get cold and to drift away. That's me. I don't know how you function, how you are, how you're made and all that, but that's me. A time to reflect on God and on life. A time to be alone and consider His Word and to pray. I desperately need meditation. To think about Him, to just look at the verse and try to figure out, what does that mean? You know, what does it mean to seek your face? What does it mean that you're wanting me to draw near to you? What does it mean that this eternal life, to know the true God and His Son Jesus Christ? What does that mean? How does that look, God? Put it in my heart to know you better. Then you reflect on His person. How could you be so gracious? How can it be that you're full of grace and truth? How could you be so merciful, so giving? And so you reflect on His person and who He is. And then desire. A desire to hear from Him. God, I want to hear from you. I know I've been a Christian so many years, but I desire you. I want to be with you. So Psalm 65:4. How blessed is the one whom thou dost choose, listen, to bring near to thee, to dwell in thy courts. Have you ever considered how blessed you are? To be chosen by God from the foundation of the earth for salvation, so that you belong to Him? And notice what it says. He chose you, to draw you near to Him. To draw you near to Him. To dwell in thy courts. I will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, the holy temple. Man. I'm just amazed that it's God who chooses us, saves us, and then He's trying to get us to draw near to Him because He knows that everything else is vanity. True satisfaction and true goodness is found in Him and Him alone. And so I realized that may as well make a commitment to seeking Him because nothing else is going to fill us. I was in this public, we were doing this public forum where they had a police officer and a firefighter and a community person and a nurse. And then they had a preacher. I was the preacher, right? And so they had each person speak. We were at this community center. And during that time, I was so grateful that I was able to give a 3-minute talk, right? Like the other people. And I quickly said, you know, nothing can satisfy but God. And you need to seek Him. So this man comes up to me. And he tells me, you know, Ray, I was in Mexico. And as you know, the poverty there and all that. So I had this dream to come to U.S. And so I did. I came to U.S. And then I had a dream to be successful. And so I was. And, you know, I have my business. I have my home. I have my cars. I have everything. He goes, but I absolutely, listen to his words, I am absolutely empty. My wife doesn't talk to me. My daughters are, we're disconnected. Yes, I achieved my goal, but I feel so empty. Can you help me? I said, yeah, you're falling into the trap of everybody else, right? Stuff, things. It's about relationships. Right? When he wasn't right with his wife, it didn't matter that he succeeded, did it? And when you're not right with God, it doesn't matter. The only thing that can fill us as believers is the Lord Jesus and deepening our walk with Him. So listen to what He says then in John 14:21. He who has my commandment and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. So do you think that our loving Him is important? What do you think? Wow. And when you love me, God really appreciates that. You're going to be loved by my Father. And I will love Him. So God says, I'm going to reciprocate because you know I already love you. Yeah, but when you desire me, when you seek me, when you love me, my Father's going to appreciate it and love you. But I'm going to also love you. And here's what He's going to do. And I will disclose myself to Him. In other words, to disclose means to reveal, to give insight, to speak to you so that you can get to know God in a more intimate and personal way. Not just superficially, not just know that, yes, Christ died for me and He rose again and I'm going to heaven. It's much more than that. I want you to know me in a more personal and more intimate way. All right? So, do you remember in Luke when someone comes up and says to Him, okay, Jesus, there was this man who had a woman and then he died and then his brother married her and then he died and then the next one, there were seven of them. And He says, which one of them is going to have her? And what do you say? You don't understand anything about God, right? In heaven, they're going to be like the angels and there will be no marriage. Now, many people have come to me. In fact, my own brother-in-law said, what does that verse mean? And that means I'm not going to be married in heaven? I'm going to have to be separated from my wife? I'm like, no, think for a minute. Who knows you more than anyone else? My wife, right? My wife can disclose things to you that I would never come back again. Right? Amen? You know what I'm saying? Right? And your husband can say things about you. You can say things about your husband. And we could embarrass each other and nobody would show their face again. Why? Because your spouse knows intimate things about you that no one else knows. And it better stay that way. Amen? Right? There's an intimacy there. Intimacy there. Right, but now, even then, people say, I've been married 40 years and I feel like I still don't know this man or this woman. Right? I still can't figure him out. Amen? Right? Right. So here's the thing. When we're in heaven, there's going to be nothing to disclose, nothing to hide. Every relationship is going to be more intimate than marriage, so we don't need marriage. So you're going to know your wife more than you know her now and appreciate her more, but not just that, but you're going to know me and every other brother in Christ. See, that's what He was driving at. It's about life. It's about relationship with no sin involved. And so when we're up there, what do you need marriage for? Everyone's going to know you, and guess what? There's going to be no secrets and nothing to hide about. Amen? Right? There's going to be something beautiful. And so God then, even now, discloses Himself to us. He wants you to get to know Him in a more intimate way. That's what He's about. He's about getting to know Him. That's how Jesus described eternal life. That intimate relationship. And so, yes, there will be no marriage in heaven because you won't need it. Because every relationship is going to be deeper than marriage. Wow. I can't wait for that. Isn't that going to be great? And there will be nothing to hide because there will be no sin and nothing to be embarrassed about. Praise God. Right? Okay, and so, Psalm 27:11 says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me. And so, there's an interesting thing. Psalm 27:9 says, do not hide thy face from me. Do not abandon me nor forsake me. Now, why would God hide His face when He's been exhorting us to seek Him, to seek His face? This is kind of seems like a contradictory term. why is David saying, don't hide your face from me? All right, so there's four things that would make God hide his face from us. Psalm 69:18. If you regard sin in your heart, God will keep a distance. Indifference. What was happening with Laodicea and Malachi, right? Just going through the motions. Unbelief. How does God love us? Well, you don't believe he loved you. He said he loved you. Yeah, but how? They didn't believe it. And a lack of discipline. That is, you're not seeking God. And so you feel distant. But God keeps on inviting us. Amen? God keeps inviting us over and over again. A couple of verses. Hebrews 10, for example. Draw near to God. Draw near to God. The veil is out of the way. There's nothing but an open door so that we can walk and be deep with God. Colossians chapter 3. Go there real quick. Look at the exhortation to the Christians in Colossians 3. Okay, verse 1. If then, and I prefer to say since then, you have been raised up with Christ. Notice it says, keep seeking the things above. Alright? So, believer, you've been raised up with Christ. Keep looking up. Watch what he says. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on earth. So you can just see then the Christian sitting down and he's got an option. He's got a choice. I can look up where Christ is, or I can look down and be attracted, be mesmerized by the earth, right? So he says, keep looking up. Don't let your eyes drop down. Don't let your mind drop down to things on earth below. But keep looking up. Keep looking at Christ. Keep seeking him. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you have died to your life, and your life is hidden with Christ, right? And so there's the exhortation again. Keep looking up and keep seeking God. Keep seeking God. Well, hopefully that'll be true. Hopefully when we come, even tonight, when y'all meet at, I wish I could go to your house. It's all right, I'm going somewhere tomorrow myself. But, you know, there needs to be an excitement about meeting together, about singing together, about worshiping together. Not a reluctancy, not like, you know, let's go to church and come dragging. There needs to be an awakening, if you will. Because I see too many people come dragging in and they're tired and unprepared and not excited. Brothers and sisters, seek the face of God. And I'm speaking to myself first. Constantly seek him to where you can't wait to come together with the body of Christ to together worship him and sing and talk about him and express him. Amen? Amen. May that be true of us continually, not just because we're going to, tomorrow is 2018. Amen? All right, Lord bless his word. Father, thank you so much that you desire us and you daily constantly invite us to draw near. Wow, what a blessing, what a privilege to be able to draw near to our Creator. Help us, Lord, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Help us to draw near to you, to constantly seek you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.